UPSC results are out and we are all looking at the faces, the history of the toppers. We are also listening to them. Congratulations to them. It takes a lot of hard work, a lot of pluck, because sometimes it takes multiple attempts and a little bit of luck to, first of all, be toppers. That's a big thing. But to even crack this exam, just to get an idea of how tough it is, of the 13 lakh who applied this year, only 1,016 have been placed. Only 1,016 vacancies. 1016 out of 13 lakhs. That's a strike rate of approximately 0.078%. So when people say that UPSC mains means 99.99% people fail, they are right, but only halfway right. Right in the sense that 99.99% don't succeed. But to say that they fail is wrong, because they have worked very hard and they've all got to some level. Many have got to the mains level after clearing preliminaries. After that, many have got to the interview level. Then only this many have made it. But the fact is that all the rest who appear for this, many of them for the sixth attempt, some in OBC category up to the ninth attempt, SC/ST categories for which there is no limit up to the age of 37, maybe even more attempts, all that money has been burnt. Their parents have been anxious, they've themselves been anxious, they've all been working hard at it. The fact is that so many years of their working lives have gone, they've been invested in this one quest. In one quest where the odds are 0.078%. So even if you go to a casino, I saw somebody write on social media that in a casino your odds are 48 to 53. I don't 52. I don't know if the odds are as good as 48 to 52. But whatever it is, in a casino your odds would be in double figures and would be this side of the decimal. In this case, it's 0.078%. Now that calls for some analysis and some debate. Also, because this debate was sparked by Sanjeev Sanyal, who heads the Prime Minister's Economic Advisory Committee. And he said in an interview to a YouTube channel on a show called Neon Show by Siddharth Ahluwalia, credit where it's due. He said that if you must dream of being Elon Musk or Mukesh Ambani, or maybe one of the partners, maybe Sachin Bansal or Beni Bansal, one of the partners at Flipkart, one of those people. Why do you all want to be joint secretaries in the government and work so hard for so many years and invest the best years of your life, after which so little is left? Because if you don't succeed, you don't take back much from this life. You might have cracked the preliminaries 6 times. You might have also cracked the mains 6 times and got to the interviews. But if you did not get that one prize, which is the final selection, then you get nothing in return. So all this time and money, because coaching takes a lot of money and almost nobody gets selected now without coaching. Coaching, time, parental commitment, all of that. And a lot of the young people who compete live in very tough conditions. They live in dormitories. They share very modest accommodation. Also live on really shoestring budgets. Some of that we saw in the film recently, Vidhu Vinod Chopra's film, 12th Fail. A lot of the portrayal that you saw was actually quite realistic. If you walk around the areas like Mukherjee Nagar in Delhi and areas of Chennai, other cities also have, every city has a Mukherjee Nagar. I'm sorry to say every city has a Mukherjee Nagar simply because I live in Delhi, not far from Mukherjee Nagar. The fact is that a whole economy has come up around this coaching. A coaching for something for which the odds are so low, as low as 99.99%, almost failure rate. This year, as I told you, success rate is 0.078%. As low as that. This year, as I told you earlier, of the 13 lakh you applied, only 1,016 were finally selected. And this year, if anything, the number of vacancies has gone up a little bit. That's also a point that we will come to in just a minute. Now, Sanjeev Sanyal's point was not that these are bad jobs. A lot of the IAS officers took umbrage at it. Some of them also said that he's undermining the service. Nobody should undermine the service. Civil services are a tough job, a responsible job. Civil servants have to deal with the politicians on the one hand and also public on the other. They are not paid very much. If they are honest, they are paid way lower than private sector, than the executives in private sector. Let's not compare them with anybody in private sector, like for like. So an IAS officer, an IPS officer, an IRS officer, or any of these central services officers in their level, at their level of qualification and responsibility and executive authority, are paid a fraction of what a counterpart might be paid in the private sector. So public service also is a calling which people choose and thereby make some sacrifice there, because many of them, you can see that many IIT, IIM graduates also now sit for a UPSC. They prepare, they get selected, and they do lifelong service in the civil services. They did not come in there because they did not have other options. They had other options which would have paid them, or which might have paid them several times, in some cases several tens of times more, but they've chosen public service. So there is that element as well. In fact, Somesh Upadhyay, who's an IAS officer from Odisha cadre, he put out a tweet also, and he said, look, not everybody who's appearing in UPSC, most people who are appearing in UPSC are not trying to become joint secretaries. It's only the lateral entrants who are trying to become joint secretaries. So that is also a debate. Modi government tried to get lateral entrants into All India Services, at least for some period, and these were to come in at the joint secretary level. We need to take note of the fact that that was the one administrative and governance reform that Modi government planned, in my view, a good reform, which unfortunately failed. Maybe the system had inadequate commitment to it, or maybe it was a bit hasty. If there is a third term of Modi government, of a Modi government, I suspect that this experiment will be repeated again. And he says, and it's a strong comment, that we come in to be officers, and we reach wherever it takes us, our service takes us. We are not coming in straight to become joint secretary. So that issue has been joined like that. However, in the process, the real question is being lost. So the question is not how good or bad civil services are, or how important civil services are. Civil services are very, very important. They keep stability in the system. They provide direction. They carry out the legitimate government's orders. They also bring in qualifications. They also bring in knowledge and a varied experience, because they start working at the subdivision level, then the district level, division level onwards. By the time they come and serve in a ministry at the center, they bring in a lot of that experience at various levels. Politicians can't function without them, and our system of governance will cease to function without them. So this is not a debate about how important the civil services are. They are very important. This is also not a debate about how good the civil servants are. If they are selected like this through this very rigorous process, they have to be among the most qualified to perform this job. The debate, however, is that with these odds of the so many people who prepare for so many years, if so few make it, what happens to the rest, right? And what happens to the rest also is a national loss, because if so many lakhs over these years have wasted away because the odds are so little, so 0.078% get selected, what happens to 99.9 whatever instead? They've spent anything between 3 to 6 to up to 9 years, sometimes even longer, because attempts are counting when attempts are made. Attempts are not counted in terms of years. You can make first attempt in the first year, second attempt in the fourth year. So you can take 10 years making your 6 attempts, and so on and so forth. So all those years are spent preparing. That time is lost for a candidate who's done this full time preparing. And then when the candidate comes out unsuccessful, which is almost all the candidates, once again, only 1,016 out of 13 lakhs, right? For all the rest of them, in fact, these are wasted years, because what do? They cannot go looking for another job saying, what did you do for the last six years or 8 years or 10 years or 5 years? I was preparing for UPSC. No private sector will give you any particular preference in a job like that. I know that in the 1960s, 70s, when we were growing up, people would give you their calling card saying IAS, written cleared. Those days there used to be a written exam and then an interview, right? So even that was seen as a qualification, but nobody gave you a preference in a job. Maybe it was good for vanity, but nobody gave you preference in a job. So the question is, and the debate that Sanjeev Sanyal also started was, should so many of the brightest people in India, the 1016 who get selected, are the brightest among these, but it doesn't mean that the rest of them are not bright. They are just 1016 in this very sharp, brutal selection came on the top. But the next 2000, the 3000 after them, the 10,000 after them, the 50,000 after them, they are not useless people. They are also good people who've invested this time. Now they have to go back in this rude universe looking for a job or looking for a career with so many years already wasted. You could say invested if you could carry this forward into something else, but you can't, because most of the education also you've had at these coaching centers is specific to preparing for UPSC. It's not preparing you for another job, except if the job is coming and teaching at the same UPSC coaching centers or writing kunjis for them or helping hold mock interviews or checking the test papers for them, etc., etc. Because coaching industry is now a sizable industry. Not all of it is organized, but generally I would say one of our stories, Nutan Sharma, our reporter, has been tracking this for some time. I will share a bunch of her stories with you, and I will also mention some of these stories to you. She estimates that the size of this industry is somewhere around 3,003 crore rupees. But in fact, if I see other estimates, if I also see the valuation of some of these companies now, coaching companies, it'll run into tens of thousands of crores. Of course, not all of this valuation is about UPSC. NEET also comes in, JEE also comes in. There is competition everywhere. Now, QAT also, the other day I was walking three buildings away to the office of Business Standard, where my column also is simultaneously published, National Interest on Saturdays, and I saw people selling QAT kunjis, right? Kunjis as in guidebooks. Again, published by these academies. So coaching is a very big business in India. But the biggest element of waste there is the area where you have the lowest odds. That is what is a matter of debate and a matter of concern. I see comments on social media from people saying, look, in a casino, odds are 48 to 52. UPSC is 99.99. Why are we still continuing to appear there? That's because there are so many motivational videos. And I would say that even a film like 12 Fail is like a motivational video. It tells you, keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. What happens if you do not succeed? And there is every chance that you will not succeed because the odds are so poor. When we had so few IITs, IIMs, In the beginning, they were just a handful. There was only one AIIMS. Then you said, oh, the top so many will get selected for these IITs because these IITs maintain standards. So my argument used to be that, okay, all right, maybe we have 3,000 seats in IITs. 3,000 get selected. What about the next 3,000 students, 3,000 candidates in the same exam? Or the 10,000 after them, are they any bit worse than the 3,000 who made the cut? Maybe some of them had a headache that morning. Maybe somebody's mom did not pray enough. Something happened. So the gap between the top 3,000 and the next 10,000, 15,000 can't be that much. That's why the idea was to increase the intake. And that's why the increase in the number of IITs, IIMs, now the new AIIMS has been so much of an improvement on the system, because that has improved the odds for people competing in these exams. UPSC, however, government will only hire that it needs. You can't say the government to increase the odds should start hiring more if its need is only 1,000 officers. It should hire 10,000. But maybe there is a system possible whereby those that don't make the cut at the top, they could then be given options in other services, maybe some state services, etc., etc. Because this is a very extensive exam that costs a lot of money. And people, particularly those who've cleared the prelims and after prelims, those who've cleared the mains and reached the interview level, even if they don't make the final cut, a lot of them would deserve, in fact, anybody who gets the mains level would deserve to be considered for something. Even for the armed forces officers entry, if you have C certificate at NCC, it gives you preferred entry on the way forward. So maybe a reform is required that will provide some option for these students also, these candidates also, who don't make it. In fact, I will share with you a story by Nutan Sharma that tells you what happens to many of these people who don't make it. They actually, she says in that story, become bhaiyas. And they hang around Mukherjee Nagar, they become mentors, some of them teach, some of them check papers, some of them give inspirational talks. They are not very different from the Gauri Bhaiya character that you saw in the film 12th Fail. That's the character played by Anshuman Pushkar. As I'm speaking, you will see some graphics on your screen. These graphics will tell you over the years, going back 20 years, how many people apply every year, how many people appear for prelims, how many clear it to the mains, how many then come for interviews, and how many then make it as officers. You will see that of the people who apply initially, about half, generally about a half, appear for prelims. So I did ask people who are involved in this industry as to why is this number so low? Why do only half of them apply? Why do only half of those who apply appear for prelim exams? That's because it's explained to me, you are allowed in general category, you are allowed 6 attempts. In OBC categories, you are allowed 9 attempts. In SCST category, you are allowed unlimited attempts up to the age of 37. So what happens is an attempt is counted only when an attempt is made. So you can apply, but before the prelims, if you think I am not prepared right now, then you may choose not to appear, because only if you appear will it be counted as an attempt. So for somebody who might have made 6 attempts or maybe 9 attempts, chances are that there'll be some years where the person might have registered for UPSC but not appeared for prelims, in which case the time invested in the process might be more than 6, 7, 8, 9, almost 10 years, because the minimum age is 21, the maximum age for SCST is 37. So the gap is quite large. In fact, this has some other consequences as well. The question that Rahul Gandhi has been raising, that how come so few of the secretaries in Government of India are from SC, ST, OBC category? So one of the simpler answers is because more attempts are allowed and because there is a maximum age relaxation. Quite a few officers in these categories qualify in the test at an age much lower because they just can appear until a much later age. So by the time they come in, by the time somebody comes into the IAS or IPS, say at the age of 37, there isn't enough years of service available for the person to rise to the level of secretary. And that is a trend as well. That's why the other reform that needs to be looked at is how many attempts should be allowed. Maybe much fewer, and then say, look, you are a bright guy. This many attempts, if you haven't done it, don't waste more time. Get on with life before too many years are wasted, because it's very difficult today in this situation of extreme joblessness for people to find jobs in their 30s, mid-30s, even late 20s. And that is the waste that the UPSC system is creating, and it's a waste of really bright people. Now, I'm also picking up some tweets, a Twitter thread from Maheshwar Perry, who runs Career 360. For ease of calculation, otherwise I would have to sit down and do all this calculation for you. All this data is available in the charts we've shared with you. But he says, for example, that in the 4 years between 2006 and 9, 14.52 lakh people applied for UPSC. 14.52 lakhs, that is 3.63 lakhs per year, of which 40,413 cleared preliminaries to appear for mains. 14,413, that means only 2.7% cleared, right? Of these 2.7% also, 7,858, that is less than 20% of these 2.7% were called for interviews, that is 2,435 per year. Of this, only 3,157 found jobs, that is 993 per year, which means that one out of 365 had nowhere to go. One was successful, another 365 had been working all this while and preparing all this while, had nothing to go. How has the situation changed 15 years later? That is as of today. That's the result we are looking at. All the toppers you see in your newspapers, on your TV channels, whose parents you are speaking to, whose neighbors are talking, these are from this batch. This level of odds, which was one out of 365, has now risen multifold. So 15 years later now, three times as many people apply. So between 2020 and 2023, in 4 years, 2021, 2022, 2023, 46.03 lakhs applied. It was 14.52. So it's a little more than three times, right? That is how the number of applicants has gone up. Of this, 48,214 qualified for mains. That is just about 1%, just about, in fact, 1.04%. Of this, about 10,000 in these 4 years were called for interviews. Total vacancies were 3,823, which means only one out of 1,204 got selected. 1,203 mostly got wasted. I'm not saying everybody got wasted, but 1,203 mostly got wasted. At least all the years they had spent so far preparing and all the money they had spent on coaching so far got wasted. So the odds have worsened now from 1 in 365 15 years ago to 1 in 1,204 at this point of time, which means the odds have worsened by 3.3 times. This is now playing out in every other competitive exam. NEET, for example. When NEET started, it had 8 lakh applicants. Today, it has 27 lakh applicants. Why is that happening? It's not as if India's population is booming. Yes, more and more qualified young people are coming in. More and more aspiration is there and more medical seats are being created. But it's also because multiple attempts are allowed. And that is where we need to do a little bit more of searching with a high degree of curiosity as to why and how these decisions were made to allow multiple attempts, because number of attempts has been increased over time. And I would not rule out the possibility that some of this is also a result of lobbying by the coaching industry, which has become so powerful and so rich right now. It's also become an afterlife for so many veterans of our civil services. So these are areas that need to be looked at, because these are bright young people, bright young aspirational people, very competitive. They must be allowed to compete. They must be encouraged to compete, but they can't be left to the mercy of a system which has such brutal odds of qualifying. And in the process, look at the amount of time, energy, money, and productive years of their lives that get invested. So that is the debate that these UPSC results should start now.